The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
And welcome back once again to Afternoons with Mike on the Shepherd Radio Network. I've been looking forward to this one for a long time. A couple of weeks ago, I found out that I was going to get to talk with Roger Long. That name you will know for sure if you've been, especially in the Orlando area, but Long's Christian Books and Christian Music was a staple, not just for Orlando, but the entire Central Florida area for a number of years. And I'm sitting today with the owner and the founder, Roger Long. What a privilege it is, and welcome to The Shepherd.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Appreciate that very much.
You know, you've got one of those stores to where if you're a believer in Central Florida, most everybody came to your store, came through those doors on Edgewater Drive at one point or another.
Absolutely. It was the good old days that there was pretty much anything that we put on our shelf, it would sell. And God definitely used us. And only one correction there. The founders were my mom and dad.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're in your family.
I'm second generation.
Yeah.
My mom was Georgia. My dad was William. And they both were the founders. Interesting story there is that my mom always wanted to be in mission work. But, you know, as you know, it's when you have a calling on your life, it doesn't necessarily mean that moment. It could be down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so for many, many years, obviously, she stayed at home and raised us and did a great job, 5 children. Later on in life, she got her wish or her blessing, I should say, and that is that she was able to go into her mission work, which was not necessarily out of the country like we think about missionary work. Mm-hmm. It was basically in her community, mm-hmm. which was the Christian bookstore. And so people who knew my mother knew that she had a calling and that mm-hmm. she loved people. She truly was called to do what God wanted her to do because she didn't care about money. She just cared about helping people,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting the right book in the right hands, even to the point that if there was a time that we would disagree with each other would be when she gives product away because mm-hmm. she just has such a heart for people that she would she would give product to mm-hmm. people. You know, and I said, Mom, we got to pay the bills. You know, we got to pay the bills and we can't just keep giving product away. But anyway, that's the beginning of the ministry of Long's
mm-hmm.
in Central Florida. And and then when my dad passed away, I was around 17, 18 years old.
Mm.
And
that's tough to lose your dad, even at that age.
Yeah, yeah. And I just, even sadder is that, you know, I went through my rebellious stage, you know, before I became a Christian. You know, I had my long hair, and back then that was the thing of rebellion is just to have your hair long and to do your thing and to basically running away from God. And I was brought up in a Christian home. You know, I rebelled and, you know, I won't get into all of that, but it's just one of those stages of life that I wasn't pleased with. But the good news is, God got a hold of me. And, right prior to my father's death, I came to know Christ.
Mm.
I was around 17 years old, 17 and a half. So, years old. And interesting why I tell you that is because when my dad passed away, that was right when I was, I got the time maybe within a year because I was graduating from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you think, okay, where am I going to college? What am I going to do? Well, God had other plans. because my dad passed away. I had just come to know Christ. And so my mom's there by herself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, why, you know, that's the last thing I was thinking about is getting involved in that ministry. And, you know, helping her run a bookstore. I don't like the read, you know, and here is the Christian bookstore. And I just came to know Christ. Anyway, get to my point is that God, without a doubt, called me to help her.
Yes.
So instead of going to college, that was my college.
Yeah.
So I was there to help her.
So often you hear stories back in that time frame where young people had one idea, but then a family situation would end up and they have to step up and do the thing for the family business or the family farm or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that's really no different than what you did. But the timing of you coming to know the Lord and, you know, life, if you're a musician or even in books, the explosion that happened during that time frame in our lifetime, that was like one of the pinnacle times where she was at the right place. Your dad and your mom were at the right place at the right time to be able to go into that. And you're right. There was a real ministry aspect to a Christian bookstore that goes along with just it being a business as well.
Well, and also I needed it, you know, being young in the Lord, it was the best atmosphere or best type of business / ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was surrounded with Christians and I was learning as I went. You know, we didn't have much when we were growing up. And matter of fact, my mom and dad, when they started the business, I remember them so clearly because it was embarrassing. And that was, you know, when you fixtures and displays are not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't afford them. So what they would do is, on a Sunday or after church or just some evening or something like that, we would go with my dad and mom. And next thing I know, we're driving behind grocery stores or big department stores and heading towards the dumpsters.
And seeing what was thrown away.
Well, anytime they get done with a fixture, they'll just put it there by the dumpster and, you know, to throw away. And so that's how they started.
Wow.
They would go literally and go get those fixtures. And but that was so. And then also I love to build. I mean, if you asked me later on or kind of, you know, I just love to build. I love to do anything with my hands, mm-hmm. with carpentry work and stuff. And so if I couldn't afford it, I would build it.
Mm.
So I would build a lot of the fixtures. And so that's how we kind of started. And so it was exciting.
Now, I know you were here in Central Florida. And as I mentioned, this store was on Edgewater Drive, at least when I moved here in the 80s. And your background, though, did you come from Central Florida? Were you always here?
I'm one of the few that are still left here in Orlando. I was born back then. It was called Orange Memorial Hospital.
Okay.
And it's called Orlando Health, whatever. I don't know the name, but I was born there.
Orlando Regional down there.
Yeah. That's what it's called now. Yeah. And so I've been here, I'm 65, so I've been here 65 years.
Oh, man. It's not too often, it's not every day that I get to talk to somebody who really grew up in this area.
Yeah, lots happened in Orlando.
Yeah, a lot has changed, and you grew up and you saw all of those changes.
Absolutely.
They happened in real time for you.
Yeah, a lot of good changes and a lot of bad changes. You know, what I mean by bad is, you know, the internet's changed a lot of retailers and a lot of retailers, especially the mom and pop retailers.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember back when we first started, it was, I forgot which came first, albums or 8-tracks. But there was the records and the 8-tracks and the cassettes and the CDs and now it's downloads, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing how technology has changed industries / ministries. And so, I was fortunate enough to be in it long enough to experience all those different ways to be able to reach people,
mm-hmm.
from recordings to all the different artists and musicians out there, which we had many of them in the store, and to all the books and the prints from the tablets that are now available. So it is interesting.
You know, as a musician, we cut those albums in Nashville, those long play albums, and we did, I don't think we ever turned out a single, our band, from any of those things, but we recorded the long play back in the day when you would go to Nashville. This is the way everybody recorded back then. We'd go to Nashville and you'd cut, if you're going to cut a record, you could do it. If you happen to know somebody, like in the movie, That Thing You Do, where somebody had the gear, it wasn't every day that people had their recording gear.
Mm.
Most people went to Nashville and rented out a studio and paid the big money that it cost to make a record. And and then those that were distributed, many of those albums would end up, if they were from a big label, would end up in a bookstore like what your mom and dad had.
Yeah, yeah. We would, you know, the one story that I remember so clearly, because, you know, my philosophy, these people, the small circle of friends that I have and family, they know me when I say there's, my slogan is that there's always a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just, I'm determined to make a way, you know, not to give up. And, you know, we would continue to grow. We had a small store. Probably my mom and my dad started, was probably maybe 1,200 square feet. And then they grew to another store that was probably about 3,000, 3,500 square feet. And then that's when I came into the picture. And started with my mom. And then, like you said, that was when things were really growing, not just our industry, but also just a move. You know, there was such a hunger for Christ that people were searching and looking and just hungry and buying product left and right. And so we kept expanding, and so we had the bookstore, the 3,000 square foot, and then that's when the music industry started blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened up a separate music store right down on the same block, pretty much next door, and so because we didn't have the space, and you know, because there's always a way, and so the sales warranted it, and so I opened up the store, and it just kept going. And then I opened up an international mail order that went worldwide. And, there again, this is kind of somewhat before the internet. And so things were doing really good and well. And, there was just a season that was exciting, that people were coming in and buying product. And I just remember growing, and then we had a children's store.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally one day that, felt like that we just needed to get all of this under one roof, and things were growing, and you know, I'm just trying to hear God and run the business, because my dad was the businessman. My mom was there being the person that would minister and help people and reach out and listen to people. When it came to the business-minded sense, she didn't really have. So that's
what you had to step in.
Not that I had it, but I had to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And so between both of us, God took that ministry and blessed us. And so I guess where I'm going here is that there was just so much going on, ministry and growth, because of just everything doing so well, that finally there was this opportunity to buy this, to lease this place that was like, it was just huge. I mean, I felt like it was overwhelming. It was 11,500 square. It used to be an old Winn-Dixie there in College Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at that building, and I was so scared to make that commitment. The what do you call it? The the power box that brings in the power to the building was bigger than me. I just remember that to this day. So scared. I said, what am I getting myself into? Because that's a lot of money, a lot of expense, you know, on and on and on. But I was scared. And I was got frightened. And somehow, through all of that, I backed out of it. And somehow the landlord, that the place where I was, misunderstood me and thought I was leaving and already had leased the building.
Wow.
And so where I'm going there is that I came back after that meeting, seeing that, looking at that building and basically saying no to that, finding out I didn't have a place that I was being vacated. You know, it's like, I said, what in the world? And so, but what the Lord was saying, He wanted me to go there, and I didn't have the faith. So that's why I'm a big believer in God's sovereignty, because I'm not smart enough, but God is, and so God led me, and so I went back and was pretty much forced. But obviously, that was God's plans, and so it, looking back, it was totally God that was leading us there, And we had we had record sales. I mean, at one time we had 50 employees, which is crazy to even think about back then. I mean, and we were the largest. You're talking about music. We were the we did the biggest volume of Christian music in we were one of the top 10. I'm sorry, the top 10 in the country when it came to selling Christian music.
Well, I would say, from my standpoint, there'd be no doubt about it that when it came to Florida, you would be one of, if not the most well-known name for being a supplier of Christian music. You certainly would be in the top, couple of them in Florida. Because everyone, I heard it. It was one of the first names I heard when I moved to Florida in 85. And I can't even tell you how many times I've gone into your store. And then into the other store, when you opened up the one down the way for to Christian music. That was exciting. We were hanging out there. We were buying albums there.
Yeah, and then we partnered up with Walt Disney World with the Night of Joy.
Oh, yes.
You know, and Rock the Universe, the Universal Studios did their thing. And so when they would come into town for those events, we would have most of those artists in our store.
Yep.
That
signings
was exciting.
And album signings and so many things like that. That just goes through my mind. And I've gone to some of those, and it's just crazy to think about how God used that. And that's what I want to talk about to begin our next segment, is kind of the area for you to see. Like you said, you've seen everything change. And there was a time that it was Orlando was growing exponentially more quickly than they had really good plans, really good highways for her. That's been a problem all along. We're seeing now, probably it'd been great to have this highway system in the late 70s, early 80s. It would have been wonderful.
Yep.
But you've seen that change, and I just would love some of your thoughts and some of your remembrances about what it was like in those days when you began to partner with those concerts and things like that. Roger Long from Long's Christian Bookstore, Long's Christian Music, my guest today on Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. We're going to be right back in just a moment here on The Shepherd. In the studio today with me is Roger Long. Roger is the second generation owner of Long's Christian Bookstore, Long's Christian Music, and for many, many years. How many years, Roger, were you guys on Edgewater?
Oh, wow. A good time. Total ministry for me is 47 years.
Oh, wow.
and then my mom and dad had it, so we've probably been total 57. So back out, so probably about 40 years that we were there on, you know, on Edgewater Drive.
Now, before we get into all of the things that I wanted to mention about artists coming in and you seeing the growth happen, you mentioned that you kind of had to step in at age 17. Mm-hmm. When you look back at that first couple of years when you were having to do that, And yet at the same time, simultaneously, you're having to grow in the Lord.
Yeah.
What do you look back as being the real driving thing that really allowed you to step into that spiritual growth as well as all of the business growth?
Well, you know, I guess the thing when you're called to something, you know, obviously God's leading, and He has led me all the way. I mean, I'm getting even emotional right now. I don't know why, but it just is, because it's totally God.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally God and what He has done.
I love it.
You know, it's the fact that He's used me, because it's just humbling, because, you know, who am I? But
it's amazing. And if I'm going to help you out for a moment here, it's amazing to me when I think back to how God used your family and the faith of your mom, who wanted, and her heart was to be an international missionary. And yet God's plan is sometimes different. And it breaks out some ways different than we think it would be. It certainly happened in my life.
Yeah.
I never dreamed I'd be doing the things that I'm doing.
Yeah. You know, and you know, my thing I taught my daughters, you know, I would play with them when they were younger, and I would, it was called the O word. And the O word meant obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it takes, you know, is just being obedient, following what God is telling you to do. And so, you know, that's the beginning and how I'm here. And, you know, and it's just, there's story after story. You know, I tell people the Christian bookstore is like a church. People come to get help. You know, and, you know, we first think, or when we first see someone, we in that type of setting, we have a tendency to judge them, you know, and it's and that's not what we need to be doing. Mm-hmm. Because the good news is they're seeking. I mean, so the fact that they're coming to church, the fact that they're coming into a Christian bookstore that has resources to help them, you know, that's exciting. And so to be a part of that, I mean, to this day, there's just so many people that need guidance in, you know, they're having troubles, whether it be with, you know, themselves, or whether it be through a marriage, whether it be a family member. It's just, they're coming, they're seeking, and whether, like I said, what's for themselves or a loved one or a friend. And so the fact that we can have a part in helping them and guiding them to a particular book or Bible, that's exciting. Matter of fact, this whole COVID season that we're in, guess what the number one selling item is in this store?
The Bible.
Absolutely.
Right.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And I tell you what, there's nothing more exciting than having the opportunity to sell the Word of God.
Well, what I love about what you guys did, and during this very special time, and this is really appropriate in my mind for the emotion that you're feeling right now, and it's really, really felt, I believe, by all of the listeners right now. I'm feeling it because God really allowed you and your business, which was run so well, Roger, throughout all those years, you partnered with the churches in this area throughout all of Central Florida. You would have been one of the major, if not the exclusive partner, for seeing at a time when people were, like you used the word explosion. I love it. Because there was an explosion. Mm. There was a revival that was going on. I think about the 70s, and I think about how that the Jesus festivals were happening here, and people were getting saved.
Yeah.
People were coming to know the Lord. Yeah. People were getting baptized in swimming pools all over the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was this hunger and this thirst for doctrine and for really becoming more like the Lord.
Yeah.
And then the music thing. God begins to bring this amazing revival of worship music and scripture songs. And you know what? Your store was there You were the number one store that people came to, and churches sent their people to you.
Yeah, well, we try to the one philosophy that I have in running a business slash ministry is listen to your customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of sitting behind a desk and, you know, behind a wall, you know, you need to be out there listening to your customers. And so we did that. And so we would bring in whatever people wanted within reason, you know.
and ability, yeah, of course. Yeah.
But my mother back then, when we started, there wasn't such things as computers. And so it was based off memory and sheets of paper and so forth. But my mother knew those books, and she knew those customers to the point that she would just say, "Well, it's right down there, and she would find it." And so, you know, churches then really depended on their local Christian bookstores.
Yes.
There was more of a partnership
mm-hmm.
back then, not so much now because you have the internet. And so there was a lot going on, and we would try to work with a lot of the churches and whatever their needs might be. And so we had an opportunity to know what's going on and see how God was working in a lot of the churches. There was a lot of festivals that were going on also, a lot of events. Orlando being a tourist capital of the world, there was a lot. It brought a lot of people into Central
yes,
Florida.
Yes, and those people came in, and I've got books in my library still. I gave a lot of my books away to my son and my son-in-law after I retired from full-time ministry, and mm-hmm. they're using them in their libraries now. But I still have some books in mine that I would have gotten from Long's back in the day, and I know I still feel. I am one of those. I'm older. I know I get it. And I do read some things off the internet and off of a tablet, and I have the Kindle mm-hmm. app and yeah. all of that. But there, to me, is nothing like the feel of a good book
yeah.
in your hand
yeah.
and flipping through the pages of that. I don't think I'll ever change on that.
No. Well, the music industry, I was told... Excuse me. When I was told, a while back, that music would go, you know, there wouldn't be music sold at a Christian bookstore, and I thought, that's crazy, you know. And sure enough, with the technology mm-hmm. and how yeah. things changed, that yeah. came about.
It did,
to the point now you don't have music because it's all somewhat downloadable or it's just mm-hmm. easy accessible over the internet. And then you had the tablets coming along, you know, and so the concern was with print, with books and Bibles. Well, fortunately, you know, that came to a halt because tablets started decreasing. And because what actually happened, people found out that you know, there's nothing better than the hard copy.
There's nothing better than having it.
And so there are situations where you will want the tablets, you know, to be able to listen, travel, or you know, wherever you might go, that's more convenient there. But so the print continues on.
Mm-hmm.
And a little
different than what it was, and the way things yeah. are sold. The internet, certainly with the advent of Amazon and all of that,
yeah.
it certainly changed the way people get their books.
Yeah.
And I for one, can tell you, Roger, that I miss the day that we would go down to an exclusive favorite store yeah. to buy that. And I think that kids today who will never know what we knew are worse off for it. I just right. think that we had something very special.
Yeah, well, what I'm hearing from people now, our product is somewhat a commodity. Oh, it is a commodity. And so therefore, it's easy accessible over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's very convenient to buy books over the internet. And I don't blame them. You know, there's companies out there that have great services and they can turn it around pretty fast. But what I'm hearing from people now is that that it's difficult to do that when you're purchasing a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's interesting, you know, because that what they're saying is the Bible is so important to them that that's not something that's easily done over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to come in.
They want to feel,
you know,
it.
Oh yeah. I joke with people when I'm waiting on people and they're searching and they're wanting a Bible and with all the different translations and all the different leathers and all the different colors, all the different models, you know, I joke with them and I say, it's like buying shoes. It's like going to a shoe store. You know, there's just so many different colors and models. You just don't realize all the different choices that you have out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's encouraging that our, you know, and that's why our Bible sales are doing so well, because people are searching more than I've seen in quite a while. And that's very exciting to see that. So.
It's very exciting to know that you still are in it and you still have a bookstore. And we're going to be talking about that in a moment as to where you are and how that's going and the changes and all that's happened with that. Before we do, though, going back to the 70s when this big explosion was happening, when you look back at that, what memory do you have that might be the most fond thing about either people's growth in love for music or in their love for reading a book? What would be one of your memories that comes floating up to mind?
Well, you know, that was many years ago. You know, I think the memory, there's not anything specific, except what comes to my mind is back then, people seemed to be more freer, more hungry, for the word.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come in, just searching and wanting to know Christ. And I don't see that now. I'm seeing a little surge because of the virus, but, and I believe, you know, as bad as this virus has been, I believe good's going to come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, there just seemed to be more of a oneness and more of a unity that I don't sense now, that we seem to have gotten away from. So, but you know, it's just exciting to see, how God, moves and how he works amongst people. And, we're in a different stage. I know that down the road, there's going to be some exciting things that are going to happen.
I agree with you. And there's many people who are saying, and this growth, this surge that you're mentioning is being seen by a lot of people among young people. And that's kind of what started the surge back in the 70s.
No, that just kind of reminded me. You're right. It was the majority back then were young people.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not. Now it's not. Matter of fact, when young people come in and buy the word, that excites me. And I tell them, I mean, I get emotional because it just is, like I said, it's coming. It's a new surge that's coming. And but you're right. Back then it was young people.
And I believe it's happening. And,
yes.
And a lot of people in a lot of different ministry fronts that I've talked with, there is without a doubt, I was sharing with one of the leaders in the country. His name is Brad Mattis. And he was talking about the fact that on an issue like pro-life and working against and wanting to see abortions outlawed, he is seeing right now an almost revival of heart, a change of heart from young people who are coming. And now throwing off the culture's conviction of that whatever feels good, do it. Mm. They're throwing that off and they're seeing that there's nothing there. So I feel great faith for the days that are ahead. And we know that it's usually during times of struggle and times of difficulty that people grow the most out of that. And back in that day, I mean, the kids that got that explosion were coming out of a time of the Vietnam War, and it was a difficult time in culture.
Yeah.
And there was a revival of young people. Yeah. I'm believing for it again, Roger.
Well, I just think that the young people that are coming in now, they want truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know what's real and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so
And they're rejecting what they don't think is not real. They're rejecting
right.
it.
And so I would encourage the church out there to just continue to preach the word of God. Don't cater to man. You know, stay in God's word and do what God is leading that individual pastor to do.
Mm.
And not to listen to necessarily his congregation, but to heed to God and what God is saying, you know, and I just pray that the word of God will continue to be preached from the pulpit.
Yes.
And we need to stay there and just preach what is in the word of God.
I love that. And you know what I love about Roger Long is the thing that causes him to tear up, the thing that causes him the most emotion when he talks about the Lord is the fact that he is moved by the word of God. And that moves me. It should move us all. And I appreciate that about you, my friend. And that's what I'm going to walk away from our chat today remembering the most is how much you love the word of God. And how appropriate, friends, it is for a man who has overseen decades of sales of Bibles that the thing that moves him is not the sale of the Bible, but it is the word itself.
Amen.
I love that.
Amen, amen,
Roger
amen.
Long, my guest today. We're going to be back with one more segment. Roger's still doing it. He is still selling these Bibles and selling books, and I love it. It's in a little bit of a different format. We're going to hear about that in a moment right here on Afternoons with Mike. Oh, this is way too much fun for me, meeting with my guest today, Roger Long, a man that I've known and seen and talked to, albeit briefly in the times that I'd be in his store, because this was one busy man back in that day. I'm telling you, when you'd walk into Long's, there were dozens of people in the store all looking, browsing through CDs, browsing through books, buying Bibles. I don't even know how many Bibles I've bought from Long's Christian Books over the years, but I tell you what, as I mentioned to Roger a moment ago, I still have books in my library today that I love and would never part with that I bought right on the shelves of your stores.
Yeah.
And so when I found out I was going to be privileged to be able to talk with you today, it was just like a trip through memory lane for me. And just to convey to you, Roger, how much your family has meant to not just me and our family and our local church, but to people all over Central Florida and beyond. Mm. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. Appreciate that.
You've been a leader and you've been an innovator, and you really did flow with the times and go with the times. And, you know, we were talking about something that back in segment one with your mom, when she prayed and her desire was to be a missionary. And you made this comment that sometimes when you pray and you get the answer, it's not always exactly what you would have liked or what you thought it was going to be, but it was always about what God wanted.
Yep.
And that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And so it is true. We've seen things come. We've seen things change, and you've rolled. If there's one industry that has changed, it is the book selling industry. A roller coaster. You've seen all those changes.
I remember a businessman told me, or maybe it was a book that I read, that if you're going to stay in business, you got to be willing to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never forgotten that. And, you just got to be willing to change. And that I have definitely done. And of course, if you've been in an industry long enough, there's going to be changes. And so and the main thing we've already talked about, and that's just simply the technology. I never saw that coming, And so we had to adapt, and we did. And, you know, my mother always thought I'd love to spend money, and that wasn't the truth. It's just simply you had to adapt, which takes money. So we did, and there was just a lot of movement and placing things to adapt to technology. And we, like I said, we eventually had one big store there in College Park. We had the cafe, like a Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
And when that came about, I felt like I had arrived. I had gone to heaven.
Yeah, this is going to be the way it is.
Know,
from
hey,
now
I
on.
Can compete with the big boys, you know. And but there was a season, and it was a good season. And eventually, that's when the internet started growing and mm-hmm. growing and growing, and then our industry started changing. You know, music wasn't as popular because of the internet, or it was popular, but it was being bought over the internet
and being listened to differently.
Yes.
Than what it was before, because now, and this is to the sadness of all music producers and artists, people used to buy music to listen to music.
Yeah.
With Spotify and all these other different courses.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was that season of illegal pirating.
Yeah.
That was a sad season right there.
Yeah. It was quite a season, and we saw it coming, and so, you know, you just have to adapt. And so that was, you know, mail order pretty much shut that down. And the majority of our sales were music. And then, of course, that slowed down and adjustments occurred. And so we kept on growing. We kept on managing what was there. Then my mom passed away. That's been about, 12, 13, 14 years ago. And and that was when things were kind of going down. Well, that not kind of, they were going down. And mm-hmm. so I had to think, oh my goodness, you know, I have this huge rent, a lot of expense, a lot of overhead. And so, you know, I kept praying, seeking, trying to get counsel, you know, what do I do? And during that time, I felt led to open up an outlet store.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was opened up in Altamont Springs. And simply an outlet store means I would buy product that was discontinued at a really good price, you know, maybe 10, 20 cents on the dollar. And then I would resell it at, you know, 50, 60, 70% off retail.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, I was, that lasted for about 4 or 5 years there and did very well, but not knowing that was where the Lord was leading me. Eventually the store in College Park, I had to close down because of our industry being a commodity, music industry leaving, and books, internet explosion. So sales were going down, 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 and down. And, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, what am I doing wrong? And, you know, and as time went on, I realized it wasn't me. It was just the industry changing. And so the good news is I was able to take care of my lease, you know, and pay all of my debts, not owe anybody, you know, still have a good name. And I was able to move everything to Altamont Springs, to the outlet store. And we were there about 6 years and did very well. But then things were starting going down again, simply because of our industry being the internet. And so my lease was coming to an end, and I was concerned on what to do there. And so what happened there was I got with the company, and they were willing to work with me. And so eventually I was going to shut that down. And at that moment, that's when I got scared.
Hmm. So you went from there, and this is now just for if our listeners just tuned in, and I'm talking to Roger Long from Long's Christian Books, Long's Christian Music. You're a legacy store that's been around for decades, and people have known this. That wasn't the end of what was to be Long's Christian. So how did you transfer from there to what was for me when I'm walking through, when I moved back to Orlando? I was surprised to see, I was walking through First Baptist Church one day, and I was surprised to see your name on the wall there.
Yeah.
So tell me, what,
yeah.
How did you get from the ending of the phase of Altamont Springs to there?
A lot of people are I'm hearing that. They're like, oh, Long's is open. They didn't know. Well, what happened is there was about a year sabbatical that I was seeking and trying to hear from God and you know, what it is that he wanted for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, was I finished? Or, you know, what did he have? You know, I'd love to build, like I said earlier, I thought about flipping homes because I love doing that. I did that on the side a little bit. And, you know, something I knew about and knew how to do, you know, along with building. And then I thought, you know, so at that time it was, the market was a little dry, and I was dabbling with that, and I just nothing was coming about. And, so still seeking and praying. And matter of fact, when we were closing the store, we had a big, a big closing sale,
mm-hmm, like going out of business.
Yeah,
sale.
And we had this journal that was there. One of my associates, you know, said, "Hey, let's put a journal there. That way, if someone wants to say something, you know, they can write something in there." And I thought, "Oh, that's silly. You know, why would someone want to do that?"
Oh, well, yeah, I bet it was meaningful.
It was full. The whole spiral notebook was full, and I still have it to this day.
Oh. I'm not surprised.
It's just amazing. The words that came in, like you said, just the amount of people that were moved and touched, and how a lot of people met there. It was just a time that they had traditions.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that they had traditions. They would go there and on Friday nights and stuff, and how their kids would go there, and just all sorts of stories and stuff. And so I was reading them one night, and I just so moved. So that was that. And I thought, you know, is the Lord really done? And I said, well, he's got to be done because of just simply the way our industry was going, you know, because mm-hmm. of the internet and stuff, and people just don't come in like they used to. And so that was probably 6 months out of the year, and then all of a sudden I got a phone call from First Baptist Church Orlando, and one of the pastors there wanted to meet with me at Dunkin' Donuts, and so I went there, and sure enough, he wanted a partner with mm-hmm. Long's, and they were going with they were doing this major renovation there at First Baptist Church Orlando, and they wanted Long's to come in there to represent them as a bookstore.
Oh, that's
and so
great.
I thought, you've got to be kidding.
Oh man, what a perfect thing.
Yeah. And so it was Pastor Danny DeArmas, which is the associate pastor there at First Baptist Church Orlando, along with Pastor Youth. And so they wanted me to come there and represent them. And so I keep to this day pinching myself thinking that God is still using me, you know, that God is still using Longs to be able to be an outreach to the community.
And it is happening, and people go in there and they can see it. There's a real sense of like the legacy of your name that is now in a new way. It's going forward, and it will be there for who knows how long. And I just love the fact that the Lord wasn't done with you, even though it looked like the industry had come in and, you know, the industry and this culture is like shifting sand at times under our feet, isn't it?
It is. And it's just interesting too, because, you know, what goes around comes around, and, and sure enough, that's what's happening, because now all the Christian bookstores, pretty much all of them have gone out of business. And Longs is still going.
And so
now people are seeking and trying to find that Christian bookstore so where they can come in and, you know, talk to someone and get direction and get help and be able to service them. So it is exciting.
Well, friends, if you would like to take a trip down memory lane, it's going to be in a different location than it was before, but it's the same heart, the same people, the same family. And that's what I love about it. Yeah. And I just can't tell you what a delight this has been for me today to have you in here, Roger.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it very much. It's been an honor.
Roger Long, who I know many of you have your own sets of stories. And I love the fact that maybe you were one who left a journal entry for Roger to read. And if you didn't, send it to us and we'll pass it along to him. Because I know there's a lot of us that have a lot of thankfulness for this man and his wonderful family. Thank you, Roger Long. And friends, thank you for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.